you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm your guest host today, Guy Smith, and as always, we're here with Ray Zinn, the longest-serving CEO in Silicon Valley, and a hearty good morning to you, Ray.
Well, thanks, Guy. Good to be with you again.
Oh, good to be with you, as always. Today's episode is a bit different. Everyone, especially here in Silicon Valley, loves to be an optimist, but we all know that bad things do happen. So I wanted to talk about warning signs. When you're at the top of the organization, how do you know when your organization is getting in trouble? And so, for example, what would be like the top three warning signs that a CEO should be watching for that says, my business is in trouble and I've got to do something different?
Well, there are different categories. For example, if your revenue is not meeting projections that you need, if you're off budget, if your costs are higher than what you budgeted for, is another area that you can tell. If you do a proper cash flow analysis, and that's a whole different podcast. In fact, I'll be teaching a class on cash flow in the next couple of months at one of the universities. So anyway, so running a cash flow, doing a cash flow analysis will help you tell, you know, if you're going to run out of money or not, and for what reason. A high turnover in your company, if you're finding a particular organization or a group that's suffering, that's having a lot of turnover, that's a warning sign. If you find that your products are not getting accepted in the way and timeliness that you expected, that's another warning sign. So there are many in sundry.
Well, you know, the one that caught my attention as you were going through there was the high turnover rate. And I'm sure with inside of every industry, there's benchmarks on turnover rate. But what do you see as that primary cause of turnover rate? What suddenly starts the stampede? What is it that causes people to want to leave a company at a much higher rate than it maybe they were before or should be now?
Well, the number one reason people leave a company is because of their immediate supervisor. They have an issue with their immediate supervisor. That's the primary reason that we see for people leaving. Now, maybe there's some other underlying reason, but that's the one that's most often given.
So, Ray, you know, a CEO's got to have a dashboard of different lights that are going off, and I've got to imagine that there's maybe one or two warning signs that CEOs, especially new CEOs, tend to ignore. What is it that they ignore, and why do they choose to ignore a troubling sign?
I'd say the primary one is that the project has taken longer than anticipated to come out. And they tend to rationalize that by saying, well, you know, things are harder than they really are, and things are tougher than they really are. And so they just ignore the warning signs of a delayed project, because a delayed project is a sure sign that you have got something really systemically wrong in your organization.
You've kind of touched on something there, which I think is a difficult thing for a lot of green CEOs to deal with, because you have to remain optimistic and you have to instill optimism in your team, but you also have to be realistic when there's a clear warning sign. What is that trade-off point? When should a CEO start being a pessimist? When should they start saying, oh, the ship is sinking, we've got to figure out how to fix this?
You don't have to be a pessimist to know the ship is sinking. What you want to do is be a realistic optimist, meaning you've got some goals that you set to finish the project. And one thing that happens when projects get delayed is there's creeping elegance that comes in. They think, oh, you know, if we just added this one module, or we just went over here and did this thing, you know. And so creeping elegance is one of the sure killers of getting a project out on time. So you have to know what's good enough, what is going to satisfy the market. a customer may come to you and say, well, if you had this feature, maybe then I would consider your product. They're going to drive you nuts. You know, what you got to do is sell what you have, not sell what they want. Because I tell you, if you wait and sell what they want, they never are satisfied. They're always going to come up with something else that, gee, you should have had in your module or your product.
That's been one of my observations, because I've been in the marketing trades with inside of technology, and there's always this divide between sales and marketing, because the salespeople, in my opinion, my humble opinion, tend to be quarterly driven, and whatever the lost sale that they last had is today's emergency. And I have a feeling that that's one of the ways that feature creep gets into products, is the salespeople talking about the sale they just lost, and if we only had that feature. And then that knocks the entire development organization off course for the features that actually serve a broader market.
It's even worse than that, because if your company is known to have these revisions coming out, then what's going to happen is that the sales guys are going to stop selling it. They're going to wait until the new one comes out, because they're interested in having that latest and greatest thing. I loathe to have sales involved with the design group, because they constantly were saying, well, if you had this feature or that feature, and then my designers would get all excited and they would go off on a tangent. And then the sales guys would quit selling the product that I currently have. You know, sell what you have, not sell what you don't have, for crying out loud. And that was a challenge that I have with this current company that I mentor, is that, you know, they had this neat product and they had sold it, had it available for over a year, and they started developing a new one, and the sales guy just stopped selling the old product.
I once had a boss who refused to publish the development planning timeline to anyone outside of R&D, and I asked him why. Had he seriously missed a deadline before? He said, no, we're always on time. I just don't want the salespeople to know when the next product is coming out, because I want them to be busy selling what we got.
Absolutely.
Well, it's nice to know that happens outside of the software industry as well. But software being so fungible, it's real easy to get the feature creep going in there. Well, thanks again, Ray. I do appreciate it. And for all the listeners out there, do go by toughthingsfirst.com. Connect with Ray on social media. His social media contact points are right there at the top of the page. And we will be talking to you again next week.
Also, buy the book. Tough Things First.
And by all means, buy the book.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.